All right, good morning, everybody. We are going to get started here. We are going to be working on the book of 1 Peter, and I'm so happy that everybody has read it. It's an outstanding letter from Peter, and we talked a little bit about some things that, who it's from and who it's to. We're going to review for a couple of minutes this morning, and then we're going to jump into some new pieces of the letter of encouragement and focus. So today it's all about Christ, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you would bow your heads with me in prayer, I think I told everybody that if I have time at the end, you'll have plenty of time to socialize, but between now and then, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning, the sunshine that we woke up to, the knowledge of our salvation that we are encouraged by, and the Word of God that we are taught by. And Father, we thank you for this time together, just a few minutes this morning to open the Word and study. And I ask that the Holy Spirit will be with us this morning. Open our hearts to the truth. Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit will speak the truth through me today. And that what it is that I want to say is not important, but what it is that you want to say. And Father, thank you for who you are and all that you've done for us and everything. In Christ's name, amen. So, kind of doing a little bit of outline here. So I try to keep going back to the outline because I want to make sure that we don't miss the big picture of what I'm trying to cover. And so the introduction, who is Peter? We've talked about that. Who is the letter addressed to? We've spent a little bit of time talking about that. The chosen for a new birth, we spoke last week. And I want to touch base on a couple of things here as a reminder. Talk about the new birth, and then we're going to go to, today it's all about Christ. This morning is going to be, this hour is going to be talking all about Christ. And then the next hour, before our communion service, we will be challenged to new behavior. And then next week we'll finish up with charged to new responsibilities. So as a reminder, a little bit of background, just so we're all on the same, coming in from the same place. This letter was from Peter, right? A man chosen by God, who was just like us. And I wanted to go back to when I was reading some of Acts yesterday. Peter even said, "Hey, I'm just a man." Remember, they were trying to worship Peter. He said, "I'm just a man." And so this is a man. This is from a man, given the authority by God. That's where the power comes from. Is the authority by God. This is just a man speaking to each of us, and speaking to the those that were persecuted or being persecuted in Turkey. And after many ups and downs, this man decided to give up everything and follow Christ. And that's the important part of this whole thing. That's the reason that he has it's because of the authority given to him by Jesus Christ, the authority given to him by God, that we spend any time even reading the book of 1 Peter, because it's about Christ. And it's to the new believers in exile under the threat of persecution. I like to refer that back to, this is about us, right? We may not be in northern Turkey, but this book, this letter, was written to us as a book of encouragement. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, continue our talk about this today. And a reminder of encouragement that we are chosen by God. We are chosen by God. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're set apart from this world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're given a new birth into a living hope, Jesus Christ. We are saved for an inheritance, an eternal life with Jesus Christ, and it's been set aside and is being kept by God. It will not perish, spoil, or fade. And we rejoice. Sorry, I got to follow my notes. We will rejoice in spite of our trials and our persecutions. We are called to rejoice in spite of our trials and our persecutions and our grief, because it tests for genuine faith. Perseverance in faith, faith which is greater worth than gold, and genuine faith which results in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And those are the things we've covered over the last couple of weeks. Excuse me for just a second. I've got to turn down this temperature because it's hot. That's all the technology. And so I want to back up, because we touched last week on a couple of verses, but I want to back up to where we stopped last week and then go back a couple of verses. We're going to read 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9, and that's where we're going to start today. So if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Peter 1, we're going to read verse 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter's focus is on faith in Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, there are many who saw Christ, even some who saw the resurrected Christ, but did not believe in him. Can you imagine watching the resurrected Christ? You know he was on the cross. Now he's walking around resurrected, and then you watch him ascend into heaven, and there were still folks who didn't believe. So it's not about our sight. It's about our faith. They watched the whole thing transpire, and yet they did not believe. Unlike Peter, we have not seen Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, but the Spirit of God has revealed Christ to those who listen. The Holy Spirit produces more than a knowledge of Christ, but rather a love for the person of Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. That love is not in us. When we're unbelievers, we don't have a love for Christ. We don't know Christ. We know nothing about him. But when we decide to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the gift of salvation and the gift that God gives to each one of us, one of those gifts is the love for Christ. It's the love of the Holy Spirit. It's agape love. And the Holy Spirit produces more than just a knowledge of Christ, but rather a love for the person of Christ. Our love for Christ is a function of being filled with the Spirit, not an emotional attachment to Christ. If you think about this for a second, if you think about Peter's interaction with Christ, the resurrected Christ, he had denied him three times. He ran into him as the resurrected Christ, and he was asked three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It was not until the point where he realized the filling of the Spirit, the love that Jesus Christ was looking for was agape love, the love from the Holy Spirit. It's not an emotional love. It can be. It can manifest itself in an emotional connection with Christ, and it should. I mean, think about somebody that you just dearly love. There is an emotional connection. But there needs to also be a spiritual connection, because that's eternity. The emotional connections go away when you die. There is no emotion. But the spiritual connections are eternal. How amazing is that? And Peter declares, Peter was restored by Christ into his service when he was asked, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, I love you. Agape love, the love of God for us, from us, from the Holy Spirit. We love God when we are filled with the Spirit of God through faith. We love others when we are filled with the Spirit of God through faith. Our relationships in this world should be based on spiritual love, the same love that we have for God. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. When Peter acknowledged that he loved Christ with the love that the Holy Spirit provided, which is in John 21 if you want to read that, he was restored from the power of sin. What is sin? Anything done outside of faith. And so, we've talked about this before. The encounter that Jesus and Peter had put Peter back into the filling of the Spirit, and he was restored to the service of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our life. We sin. Things done not by faith, and we're restored through faith. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about where we're putting our faith. Are we putting our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation? Are we putting our faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the power of restoration from sin? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we love Christ, and we love each other. And Peter is encouraging them that even though they may not see Christ in the world, believe, trust in him. Trust in the Spirit and be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he states it like this. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians 1, 17 through 20 is what we'll read. So Ephesians 1, doing a little cross-referencing with Paul to make sure that Paul and Peter are not to make sure they're in cahoots with each other, right? So, Ephesians 1, and we're going to read 17 through 20. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. God gives us the Holy Spirit to provide us with wisdom and revelation so that we can know Christ. Peter is encouraging them that even though they do not see Christ in the world, they need to trust in him, trust in the Spirit, and be filled with the inexpressible joy. And God gives us this Holy Spirit to provide us with wisdom and revelation so that we can know Christ. If we don't know Christ, it's hard to love Christ. It's hard to love anybody you don't know. But he gives us a living hope. The Holy Spirit gives us a living hope through knowing Christ. He gives us a glorious inheritance, and he gives us an incomparable great power through the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. This is our focus. Our focus is all about Christ and the Holy Spirit and living our life in accordance with the Holy Spirit. All of this is given to us who believe, who trust in him. This is back to a comment that Pastor Maddox always talks about. Who is this God that we believe in? What do you believe, right? Who is he? And he talks about the character of God. And this is our God. All he asks from us is to trust him, which results in the activation of all these things causing us to have inexpressible and glorious joy. What does God ask from us? Faith. That's it. Sometimes it's really simple. I mean, it is really simple, but sometimes it's really hard. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If we're looking back at the verses here, in verse 9 it says, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Are receiving, present tense. You're receiving it as a gift. How can we understand the gift that we receive when... Sorry, let me read this again. How can we understand the gift that we receive when we trust in Jesus as our Savior and not be overwhelmed with joy? The verse says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. How could we not be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, knowing what God has done for us and our salvation, the gift that he has given to us? And that we're receiving it right now. We're receiving our salvation. It starts now and it ends in eternity. It doesn't ever end, but it's completed in the return of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so living our life is all about Christ. The salvation in Christ, living according to being transformed to be like Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we are receiving that currently, a gift received from our faith in Christ, namely salvation, the end result of our faith. And so, I wanted to go back to this because it is all about Christ. Everything we've studied so far in this first half of this chapter is about Christ. It's all about Christ. And we're going to talk in the next hour, even the Old Testament is all about Christ. Everything in the Bible is all about Christ. The Old Testament points forward to Christ, the Gospels point to Christ, and the Epistles point back to Christ. It's all about Christ. And so, how do we live our lives? It's all about Christ. That's what it's about. And so, as he's encouraging these believers to have great and inexpressible and glorious joy, it's staying focused on Christ. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay, moving on to verse 10 through 12. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. I would say serving us. But you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Concerning the salvation, Peter is referencing back to all that he just described and proclaimed above about our salvation. This salvation was spoken of by the prophets starting 1,200 years before Christ came. Moses in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. The revelation of what Christ is going to do. The prophecy of what Christ is going to do. God set this plan of salvation in motion and spoke of it through the prophets and the scriptures. This is the doctrine of the inspiration of scripture. Think about, if you go back through the Old Testament and look at all of the things they all point to Christ, then you look at the New Testament and all of the prophecies that were fulfilled, and then you look at the revelation and the prophecy that is to come, it all points to Christ. And the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how many men penned these 66 books of the Bible? They all point to Christ. They all are consistently inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us the picture of Christ. Think about where we are in spiritual history today. The prophets had glimpses of things that were to come. God sets out a 5,000-piece puzzle box on the table. Think about this for a second. Anybody ever done a 5,000-piece puzzle? 100 is about as top. You know, I actually like the 10 pieces, and the pieces are like this big. I can knock those out in no time. God sets out a 5,000-piece puzzle box on the table. The Spirit of God gives the prophets individual pieces to put together a few pieces at a time. The Old Testament. The prophecy. Right? Here's this picture that God has known from eternity past, His plan, and it's all set out in the picture box. The box is right here, but they can't see the box. All they can see is the individual pieces as God gives them to them. The prophets were searching all the pieces intently and with the greatest care to understand when the puzzle will be finished and the circumstances of the situation. They wanted to know the plan. The prophets searched the scriptures of the prophets before them. They knew the scriptures, and they're piecing all of this together, trying intently. This is what this is saying in verses 10 through 12. They're intently looking, trying to search for when is it coming and what's it going to look like? What are the circumstances? The entire Old Testament was pointing to the coming Messiah. As the prophets received a new piece from God, the Holy Spirit, they searched the scriptures trying to put it all together. Where does it go? How does it fit? What's this going to look like? All the pieces pointed to Christ. His suffering, His glory. We as believers will have suffering in this world, but keep the faith because we will share also in His glory. Christ went through suffering. We are going to go through suffering. It's in the Bible. It says it. And so, keep the faith. The prophets knew that they were not serving themselves, but serving through the Spirit of Christ the salvation of you and me. They were putting the pieces together, not knowing what this whole thing looks like. Back to the think about where we are in spiritual history today. We got the whole puzzle. Everything that God put into this puzzle that He wanted us to know, we have it. What an amazing place to be. To be able to sit here and say, God, here's the whole puzzle. Here's the instruction manual for putting the puzzle together. It's all there. It's all laid out. He tells us exactly what it's going to look like. I should say He tells us everything He wants us to know about exactly what it's going to look like. Because there are things we don't know and never will until we get to heaven and ask. That's why I think that's why there's eternity, because there's so much that we're going to have to ask. It's going to take a really long time. And so, think about the position that we are, the blessing that we have in knowing everything about the Scriptures. Think about the curse that we have in having it available to us and not having any interest in it,
no excuse,
right? Romans 1, there is no excuse. God lays it all out. He puts it all out there for us. He points everything to our salvation. The pieces of the puzzle are all put together, and there's a lot who choose not to look at it, a lot who choose not to know anything about it. There's a lot of believers who choose not to know anything other than a couple of pieces. How sad. This is back to they heard, but they would not listen. Where are we? Are we diligently searching the Scriptures for what this puzzle looks like? We have the completed canon of Scripture. What a blessing it is to understand the Gospel, to understand the Word of God. And it sits right in front of us, and we have the opportunity to learn it every day. Jesus himself put it in Matthew 13:17, "For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." It's all available for us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through trusting Him, through opening and studying the Word of God. All of this is pointing to the grace of God. The past, the present, and the future all points to the grace of God, Jesus. A side note, if you want a real challenge to test your... I wrote this down, actually put side note on here, so I remember to say it. If you want a real challenge to test your understanding of the Old Testament, try going through the Old Testament and clearly presenting the Gospel only using the books from Genesis to Malachi. Then you know whether or not, because Christ is in every single book of the Old Testament. We did a study with the kids and we went through every book of the Old Testament. Did we get through all of them or a majority of them? And pointed where, hey, here's Christ, here's Christ, here's Christ, here's Christ in the entire Old Testament. It's a lot of fun. But could you present the Gospel to somebody, to the saving grace through the Old Testament, through verses in the Old Testament? Test your understanding of other, how well you know the Scriptures. These prophets knew the Scriptures, and they put it all together for us. And Peter wrote about it. The same salvation of the Old Testament, the same Holy Spirit of the Old Testament, the same Christ of the Old Testament. What the prophets searched for with great care is complete and available to every one of us who seeks to know Him. And it is quite a blessing. And then Peter puts the exclamation point on the joy brought by the plan of salvation. Even the angels longed to understand. If you look at the last sentence of those two verses, even the angels longed to understand. They longed to see the plan of God. They didn't have the whole picture. They had to let the picture play out. God had the whole picture. But God was putting the picture together. The angels watch. They get to see the plan play out. And they long to understand the plan of God. I picture the angels watching Jesus changing the heart of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and the resulting conversion to Paul the Apostle. Here's the angels watching Saul as he persecutes Christians, as he stands by and watches Stephen stoned. And the angels are watching this whole thing playing out. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, is standing beside Paul. I mean, beside Saul. Talk about an encounter. How'd you like to stand beside the resurrected Jesus Christ, when you knew he was crucified? Because Paul knew this. Paul knew how this whole thing was, how this whole thing played out. He knew the details of what was going on. And here he is talking to you, saying, "Hey, you need to drop everything and follow me." That'd be a reality check. How would we respond? Would we be like the rich young ruler and run away? Or would we be like Paul and drop everything? Now, he had a little incentive. Jesus kind of blinded him in that deal. But there's a lot of people that have been blinded. How many people have been brought to their knees because they don't have faith in Christ, but yet they don't have faith in Christ? They've had an encounter with Christ, but have denied Him. He's a jealous God. He's going to get your attention one way or another. And the attention may still be, "I don't believe." What a shame. But here's the angels watching Jesus changing the heart of Saul of Tarsus, and easy for me to say, the conversion of Paul the Apostle. It's the same reaction when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our salvation. The angels, I can see a picture of hanging from above, just looking down. Now, we already talked about the whole, you know, wings and hanging and harps, and so we're not going to rehash that. But here they are looking down and watching this plan play out. And every time a believer comes to the knowledge, every time a unbeliever, a sinner, comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels sing. How amazing is that? Sometimes it's incredibly powerful. It's always incredibly powerful to think about the details of and learn the theology and the depths of knowledge of each one of these words in the Bible. And sometimes it's fun just to take a step back and go, okay, I know all of this stuff, and think about the picture of that puzzle and what does that look like. And that can be inspiring. And I think that's what Peter is doing here, is take a step back, y'all, and listen and think what it is. And so let's remember that Peter is writing to believers. He's writing all of this about our salvation to believers. Seems kind of odd, right? Why would you spend all of this time on our salvation, on the gospel, on writing it to believers? They're already believers. Why does Peter provide the detail of the grace gift of salvation to believers? Why does he talk about the history chosen and planned by God the Father in eternity past, paid for by God the Son, and applied to our life by the power of the Spirit? Why does he spend time doing that to these believers? And I want to share a situation. I'll share it in this class. I won't share it in the next one. But I want to share a situation that I asked for prayer for. I just came back from a week long with my mom and my dad, and they're going through some situations with their health. And I was talking to my mom. I had a great visit. So this isn't in the Bible, by the way. This is my testimony. I had a great visit with my mom and dad, and I was talking to them. We've had some friends of ours that are, I've known them as my aunt and uncle they're not my aunt and uncle, but they're my mom and dad's friends, and they've always grown up as, you know, my aunt and uncle 50 years. I mean, my mom and dad have been friends with them for 50 years, and they've always been believers. They've always gone to church. They've sung in the choir. They've been involved with their church. Amazing people. Very kind. Very nice people. I love them to death. Well, my uncle has run into a situation where he has bladder cancer. And my aunt has another cancer. Now, they're 85, 83 years old. And so they're dealing with cancer. And my mom is a very strong believer. And she was over talking to my aunt. And they just were going through conversation. My mom said, look, God works everything together for good for those who love him. You know, when you say that to a Christian, a strong Christian, that's words of encouragement. When you say that to somebody who doesn't believe, that's words of frustration. Be very careful when you use that verse to people who don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who don't necessarily haven't lived their life that way. Well, in this particular instance, my mom made that comment to my aunt. And my aunt's response was, I'm glad you can believe that. Now, this is a lady who's grown up in the church her entire life. I mean, I know as a little, because I remember the stories about going to the church, and I won't tell you which church they went. And so she's grown up in the church her entire life. 85 years old, cancer, and her response to God works all things together for good was, I'm glad you can believe that. Why is Peter writing this to the Christians that are getting ready to be persecuted, or either under the threat of persecution or are currently being persecuted? So that they can believe that. It's a constant reminder of what we have. Just because you go to church, just because you sing in the choir, if the intake of the Word of God is not being metabolized into your soul as the truth, what are you going to believe? When it comes down to the real test, what are you going to believe? And I believe that Peter is saying this to the believers. He's not trying to bring them to the knowledge of salvation. They already have salvation. He's bringing them to the knowledge of the framework of their life being all about Christ. It's all about Christ. In the next hour, we're going to talk about what does the next several verses, if it's all about Christ, which it is, and it's all about Christ in your life, then what do you need to do to be prepared? What do you need to do when the testing comes? Because it says in just a few previous verses, we will be under testing. We will be tried. There will be tough things in this world, but it's just for a short time to prove the genuineness of your faith. And I think of my aunt, I think, man, 85 years old, you're at the end of the race. You're at a place where, you know, maybe you got a few more years, maybe it's 5 more years, maybe it's 10 more years. How can you not be basking in the celebration that I am at the end of the race, I'm getting ready to go home? So you die of cancer from bladder cancer. I say that a little flippantly, but at 85 years old, I hope if I'm going to die of cancer at 85 years old, one, I've had a life of following my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and plan of God. But two, I remember that, oh, by the way, it's a promotion into salvation. I mean, my promotion to salvation is face-to-face with the Lord. Y'all, there are millions and millions of people go to church every single day. Take that back. There are millions and millions of people who go to church. And there are millions and millions of people in this country who go every Sunday. Religiously, in fact. And yet, they don't understand this salvation. They are saved, maybe, I hope. Somewhere along the line, they got that salvation, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. I hope they got that knowledge and they've become believers. But then they spend the rest of their life checking the box. I would suggest that every single one of us during the week check the box sometimes. We check the box. Oh, yep, read my Bible this morning. Oh, yep, listen to a tape on the way in, or we don't use tapes anymore. Well, yeah, actually, this is the only church I know that actually uses tapes. But we check the box. But do we believe what it is that's being told to us? And that's not a challenge. The challenge there is for each one of us to look in the mirror and say, do we? Do I believe it all the time? Because that's what God is looking for all the time, in every area of our life, in every place that we live. And everything that we do, it's all about Christ. It's very easy for all of us, me included, to get very focused on me. And God says, no, focus on Christ. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Focus on your salvation. And I believe Peter is going over this amazing blessing of the gift of salvation, knowing full well what is coming to these believers. They're going to be under persecution. We know that. We are going to be under persecution. We know that. It's been said. Right? We will have trials, and we may have peace. It's our decision, and that decision is faith, and that's what it's all about. And so, that's where it's a little short this morning. I'm not going to spend going into the next part because I'm going to save that for the next hour. But I told you I'd give you some social time back at the end. That's our message for this morning. Focus on Christ. It's this whole book, this whole letter is an encouragement to every one of us and should be. The first 13 verses of this letter ought to be a huge encouragement to us. If you've read it all, awesome. You can see as we go back through the remaining parts of the letter, that it continues to refer back to this salvation. It continues to refer back to the blessing of what we have through Christ. And we ought to read it all the time. We ought to read it every week. We ought to open up and read the first 13 verses just as a reminder of ourselves. Yeah, we have a lot of knowledge. Yes, we get taught a lot of theology. Yes, we get taught awesome stuff. Our pastor fills us with gold. Let's not forget the foundation and the framework of all of it, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's all about Christ. That's our life. It's all about Christ. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time this morning. Recognize it's short. I hope it's sweet, and that the Holy Spirit will take these things that we've talked about for just a few minutes this morning and that they'll make them real to us in our life, that will help us to apply it to our daily living. And that, Father, that every morning when we wake up, we see the sun, we see both, the S-U-N and the S-O-N. And that we spend our life focusing on Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Him. Father, I just pray that we take this message to our friends, to our families, to people who go to church every Sunday and check the box, so that in the end times, whether that's the end of their life or when Christ returns, that they are prepared. They can say, He is my Savior. He is my inexpressible joy. Not, I'm glad you can believe that way. Father, I pray for my family. I pray for my aunt and my uncle. I pray for my mom that she has the ability to, and the opportunity to spend some time with my aunt. Help her see who Christ really is. Thank you, sir, for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen.